KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. In the Peacock special, Good One, a show about jokes, documentary filmmaker Eddie Schmidt follows comedian Mike Birbiglia as he develops a stand-up special. Birbiglia and Schmidt are talking to Eric Deggans about making the special and more.
So I wanted to ask about one thing, and I'll understand if you don't want to talk about it, but of course you got Hasan Minhaj in the special. And he went through a certain kind of scandal where there was reporting that suggested that some of the autobiographical stuff in some of his Netflix specials might not have been entirely based on things that actually happened. And he admitted exaggerating some things, but also pushed back on a lot of the criticism. And I don't want to delve into the details of that, but I do want to ask, it raises the question of how important is it that when you tell autobiographical stuff, that it is true or mostly true? And do you have a sense of when you shade something to the point where largely the story didn't quite happen the way you told it? Are you worried about that at all? Is this an issue for you, or do you think that maybe there was too much made of it?
Yeah, I love Hasan, and he's a big comic, he's a good friend. First of all, if you put anyone's autobiographical or semi-autobiographical shows up to any scrutiny, you would not have the same level of veracity that you have with like a documentary. Right. So it's sort of an odd choice on the part of the journalist to not contextualize that swimming in Cambodia was never fact-checked. That Live from the Sunset Strip was never fact-checked. You know, I would describe that, and I love the New Yorker, but it was a very sweaty choice on their part to publish that. You know, David Sedaris is, I think, one of our greatest living autobiographical humorists. And people ask him whether what he's saying is true. He says, true enough for you. True enough for you. Which is, I think, a great joke unto itself. And that's where it's oddly where I place the truth of my own act. So, like, I think every comedian or humorist has to decide what their level of accuracy is and what, you know, so everybody has their own, every single comedian has their own line. For me, if it starts to affect the audience and what their choices might be is when I start to second guess and make sure that I'm being very specifically accurate. So in my last special on Netflix, The Old Man in the Pool, I talk about having type 2 diabetes and I talk about how I did some things in my life that it resulted in me reversing the type 2 diabetes. That's an example of something that I would never fictionalize at all.
Right.
And the reason I wouldn't fictionalize is I do not want someone coming to my show who has diabetes and seeing me say that, and then they're trying to reverse their diabetes and going, well, right, this isn't working. He said that he did, you know, to me, that would make me feel awful. And so this is a real thing that happened to me, and I'm just relaying it to you, and you can take it how you want it, but I'm not going to lie about that. You know, same thing goes for my sleepwalking disorder. I sleepwalk through a second story window, and that was the subject of Sleepwalk With Me, my first feature film and solo show. I would never say, you know, when the Hasan thing happened, I got a whole bunch of text messages from friends going, I really hope you sleepwalk through that window.
You're like, why would I make that
and
up?
I did.
So I'm wondering, and I don't know if this is an Eddie or a Mike question, is this just a special or is this something that you might try to do with other comics? We've seen one very specific and really involved and detailed process. Is this something you might want to try to do with other people who develop material in different ways?
I'll answer that one and say, absolutely. It's hopefully so special that we get to do more. I mean, I think we always felt like there are lots of great stories to tell like this with different comics at different points in their careers and lives. And I think what's cool about it is that it's active and it's at a pivot point. I always think as a documentarian, I want to get in on the story when something is about to happen. That's really the exciting thing when something is around the corner and you're not quite sure what it's going to be, because then you're You're seeing things being processed in real time. And most things about comedians, most things about artists or famous people in general are looks back. They're biographies. They're told, you know, looking in the rearview mirror. But for me, I love cinema verite, and I love filming things as they unfold. And that is super exciting to capture, and I think really exciting to watch.
And Mike, I wanted to ask you, I mean, one of the things, of course, that comes through in this special is how long it takes you to actually go from working it out to actually having a special or having a, I don't know, a presentation that you would want to take to the stage and have it be a complete work. Will we ever see the stuff that we're seeing in this special in a completed work? Are you driving towards that now?
It's so funny you should say that, because when I watched it, I was like, oh, I don't think almost any of these jokes are in my current special, which is actually part of what makes it so special that we did, like Eddie's saying, that you capture a moment in time and you don't know what you're going to find. But that it all, it does take, you know, I generally take about 3 or 4 years to hone the special. And part of the reason I do is because I feel like there's so much stuff in the universe, like we were just saying, that I feel like if you're asking for an hour of people's time, it's like you should give them something you worked on for a lot of time and you really care about. So that's my theory on it all.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's why, I mean, when you finally do get a project together, it's so polished and so well put together because you spent so much time thinking about it.
Thanks.
Definitely. Definitely. So what you're saying is if you do come up with something, there won't be anything in this special that'll be in it.
It doesn't seem like it. I don't. There might be one or two jokes, but I think.
I think that's actually really cool. And by the way, one of the things, because Mike's shows, his finished shows that he puts out are so polished, one of the joys was getting to see him be loose and try things and have fun. I think it was a great side of him. And I'm really glad that we were able to capture.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it does feel like a magic trick to those of us who are not professionally funny to see you walk on stage and sort of say, well, I just have these ideas. And it feels like a thought out, planned out stand-up set. It does feel like a magic trick sometimes when you watch it. And I also wanted to ask you, Mike, we also seem to have this moment in comedy, you know, you sort of briefly referenced politics, but we do seem to have this moment in comedy where there are some comics who believe that pushing back against orthodoxy is like kind of what they're about. And they're not necessarily talking about Trump or talking about Biden, but they're talking about liberal orthodoxy and what they can say and what they can't say. And there's a lot of tension around whether that is liberating or whether people are actually making an argument for punching down on marginalized groups. And I was wondering, I mean, of course, your shows are very autobiographical and you're just talking about your personal stuff. But I was wondering what you think about that and if you've ever been tempted to get in and engage in that debate. The way that, I mean, everyone from Neil Brennan to Bill Maher has talked about it in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so interested in that. I mean, I think one of the things that's happened in the last 23 years since I moved to New York City and to pursue comedy professionally is that the art form has changed. There's been a seismic shift in comedy. It went from being a nightclub backroom thing to being a majorly popular art form. I mean, like, it's huge. You even watch that, like, Kevin Hart, Chris Rock documentary with Chappelle recently on Netflix. You go, oh, my God, they're playing Madison Square Garden. I mean, the comedy's so big. It's so big. And I think as a result, you have so many different types of comedy. So you have people like Chappelle or Bill Maher who are provocateurs in their goals and in their interests. You have people like me who tell stories about my life and try to find a meaning in that. And you have people like Kate Berlant and John Early who do completely absurdist comedy, you know, in a brilliant way. And countless other kinds of comedy, you know. And so the funny thing about this moment in time where people are, the provocateurs are saying the provocative things, And then people ask people like me, they go, hey, what do you think of this provocative thing? I don't know. That's not what I'm doing. But, you know, I like that there's a lot of comedy.
I hear you. Well, I have to thank Eddie, you and Mike, for joining us here. I could talk to you about this stuff all day. I say this at every interview, but I really mean it. I could talk to you. I can nerd out about comedy with you guys all day.
Right back at you.
Yeah, us too.
Mike Birbiglia is the comic and subject of Good One, a show about jokes. And Eddie Schmidt is the director of the special, which is now streaming on Peacock. So I want to thank both of you guys for joining us on The Business.
Loved it. Thank you so much for talking.
And that's The Business. Joshua Farnham produced and edited today's program with help this week from Phil Richards and Nick Lamponi, who mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW shows on kcrw.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.